Back together again, you and I chatting it up, wrapping up the month of July, Thursday, the 31st of July, 2025, on Connecticut Today. We began with news. Guess what? More absentee ballot funny business in the city of Bridgeport. And I wondered out loud, yes, when will it all end? U.S. Border Patrol Union Head Paul Perez, representing about 18,000 men and women securing America's borders, joined us to talk about the current state of border security. And finally, News Nation senior story editor and gossip maven Paula Froelich joined us to talk about the current controversy regarding an ad campaign featuring actress Sydney Sweeney, all about jeans.
So most of us, or should I say the vast majority of us, don't do stuff because we're afraid of the outcomes. We're afraid of breaking laws. We're afraid of getting shot by somebody who's upset with us. We're afraid of getting punched in the head or punched in the mouth. In other words, fear can oftentimes be life's greatest motivator, or or something that makes you think, I'm not going to do this. If you fear something, you say, hey, like, I got to get this checked out with my doctor. I'm not feeling good. My shoulder's killing me. Maybe it's just a sprain, but let me go get it checked out. All right? Because you fear that something else is wrong in there. Also, the common person, the law-abiding person, has enough fear and enough understanding that although we may want to go into our local bank, maybe with a firearm on a bad day, and hold up a bank because we need the extra money, just kidding, we don't do that because we know it's against the law. Most of us, the vast majority of us who are of sound mind, I would say 99% of us, don't even entertain that thought out of, yes, fear. We fear of getting shot by a cop or arrested or going to jail and or losing our husbands, our wives, our families. Now, people do commit crime, but the vast majority of people don't out of, say it again with me, kids, fear. You fear something may be wrong with you, so you go to the doctors. Oh, it's just a sprain. Whew, you feel good. You're walking on cloud nine. All that medical worry you had is gone. Or you walk by a nice, busy bank, and you say, well, I'd love to go in and grab 10 grand, but I fear a security guard will shoot me, okay? So I think we can establish, right, that fear is a good thing. It's like pain. It signals us that something's wrong, or we had better stop doing something, some repetitive injury that makes us hurt. What am I talking about here? I'm talking about what is going to have to be put in place to stop this constant stream of corruption and lunacy and negative stories about the city of Bridgeport, Bridgeport's electoral process, and absentee ballots. Again, as you've been hearing on the news for most of the day today on WICC, yet again, we have another case stemming back to the 2023-2024 election cycle. Four more local political operatives have been charged in connection with the 2023 race. It never ends. It goes on and on and on. And it is just an embarrassment. You know, I have people from out of town in this business who message me saying, again? I say, yeah, again. They say, why don't you people do something about it? And I say, yeah, why don't we? Because maybe the powers that be, I don't know, they may not want to do anything about it because, what's our word of the day, folks? Fear. They're not afraid of anything. And I know the mayor and his opponents and people of all sides, the Democratic Party, Bridgeport Generation Now, the Working Families Party, everybody can talk about it has to stop, it has to stop, it has to stop. It's not going to stop unless people have enough fear that they may end up in jail or on home arrest or house arrest, yet we have no increasing of any of those laws. Why is that? The General Assembly had 5 months to do something substantive. Oh, there's going to be an election monitor. Oh, that's going to fix things. I'm sure it will. The election monitor is going to be like a cop. If a cop doesn't see the crime, the election monitor and or the police officer can't make an arrest. They can't testify in court. Hey, here's what I saw. But the alleged criminal activity goes on behind his or her back. Stories all over the place. This one, Josh LaBella's story, embarrassing to the city, embarrassing. Well, people may not understand the laws. How is that possible? After a while, when you're a kid, you learn that if the cold water comes out of the tap cold, it doesn't hurt your finger. If mommy or daddy or you pushes it to the hot end, it's going to hurt your finger. Why isn't it better known in the city of Bridgeport, where this has become a freaking sport, that this is not to be tolerated? Because, I don't know, maybe it is tolerated. It is mind-numbing. And the General Assembly had a chance a couple of months ago to put some, again, what's our word of the day? Fear into people for not doing this. And they chose not to. I've already talked about this bill, and I'll do it again coming up after the break. They had a chance to actually do something about this, and it turned into a Democratic stare down between the House and the Senate, and they did nothing. Why? I don't know, because there's no, word of the day again, fear, because it's just the cost of doing business. And it's sad. So I ask it, let's kick it off with this question today. And I'm already getting a lot of responses to this. Talk or text 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Talk or text. You tell me, what should the minimum legal penalty be for somebody who knowingly mishandles or misuses an absentee ballot in Connecticut? What should that penalty be? I don't know. Should it be a fine? Should it be home arrest, house arrest? Should it be actual jail time? Because I got to tell you, it doesn't seem to me, and you tell me what you think here, at 333-9422, 333-WICC, it just doesn't seem to me that enough people in, to, and through Bridgeport care. They consider it the cost of doing business. So again, please explain it to me. Why does this keep happening? Why election cycle after election cycle, 2024, 2023, 2019, and the rumors from years ago by what people said, why the funny business with absentee ballots in Bridgeport? Why is that allowed? Well, they don't allow it, Paul, technically. Yeah, but if they cared about it, and if the General Assembly in this state cared about it, they would have done something about it last session. They didn't do it. They had a bipartisan bill. I'll tell you this story again, because it'll make your blood boil. We'll do it after the news at the bottom. Got to get a couple of phone calls here. There was a bill put in place that would have done the minimum mandatory here against people caught blanking around with absentee ballots, and nobody in the majority in the General Assembly, the Democrats in the House and the Democrats in the Senate, no one chose to be the first party to vote yes on it. You know why? Because they're okay with what happens. Well, how do you know that, Paul? What could the reason possibly be? This bill supposedly had bipartisan support. I've told you about it before. We'll get to it again in a couple of seconds. On the left and the right in Hartford, oh, this is a great bill. They're going to do it. And nothing happened. You know, geez, I don't know. Maybe somebody said something to a few people. And maybe that. Well, how do you know that, Paul? Well, I don't, but what else can the... almost said something. What else can the reason be? Like the mob used to say, hey, nice restaurant you got here. It'd be pity if it caught fire, wouldn't it? Just give us a few dollars. We'll make sure nothing happens to it. There's no fear, folks. There's no fear. And guess what? We're getting no excuse absentees in a few years. Can't wait for that. Barbara kicks us off in Shelton. Barbara, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. And Paul, this is exactly what I wanted to say. I've lived in Bridgeport for 28 years. Mm-hmm. I no longer live there. Mm-hmm. I've lived this stuff. Let me tell you, during Ghanem's first, before he went to jail, somebody was caught, and it was actually someone in neighborhood, stuffing ballots, and it was in Connecticut Post. Mm-hmm. You know, after Ghanem won the election, that person got rewarded with a post of police commissioner. Nothing changes, and unless these people are charged and put in jail, that's it. Nothing happens.
Barbara,
and
when there's
this one party rule, and that's what happens.
When there's no fear, Barbara, I don't care
exactly.
Whether it's a politician or a little kid, we don't do certain things because we're afraid to do them. That apparently doesn't happen around here, Barbara.
Not in Bridgeport. Not in Bridgeport. Not in Connecticut.
It's mind-boggling. Barbara, thank you. Appreciate you hanging on there. Folks, it's mind-boggling. And I don't care what party, what city, Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, Shelton, Danbury, Waterbury, my town, Wallingford. I don't care. I don't understand why this one bill that's pretty innocuous didn't pass. Well, maybe I do understand. And that's even more frightening. You know, it's frightening enough that nobody has the guts to do something, but it's really frightening when nobody has the guts to do something to something that's pretty innocuous and will probably tell people, hey, don't mess around with the ballots or this will happen to you. But it doesn't happen. Why do you think? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I fear I know what the answer is. And I try to tell my friends from out of state who work in New York and Massachusetts, they say, boy, Bridgeport again. I say, what? And they all ask me to some way, shape, or form, well, why don't they make the laws tougher? I tell them, I message them back, you got about 5 hours you don't need? Let me explain something. Let's go to Pete before news in Stratford. Hello, Pete. How are you, sir?
All right, Paul. How are you?
I'm all right, Pete.
I don't think your word fear is a good word. I think it's consequences. There's no consequences.
Yeah.
People do things wrong, they get caught, and there's no consequences.
Well, my worst fear is certain people want this to happen. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. But, like, the mayor went to jail. Now what is he doing now? He's the mayor again. There's no consequences. I live my life on consequences. I don't do things because of the consequence.
We all do. And listen, Pete, I'm not against letting people have absentee ballots or handling them properly. But, Pete, you have to scare them. You have to tell them that if somebody tells you, whomever that might be, Pete, X, Y, and Z, to do this, you have to tell them no, because I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, I fear going to jail. I don't do a lot of things because I don't want to go to jail.
Pete, I'm not built for jail.
Yeah, you know, Pete, thank you. Appreciate the call. Yeah, what's that old phrase? Fear is life's greatest motivator. It either motivates you to do something. Man, this pain I have every morning when I wake up, I'm kind of short of breath, too. So you're afraid it might be something that is, you know, medical. So out of that fear, you do something. And then, like Pete said, yeah, I could use about $5,000 or $10,000, but I'm not going to knock off that bank because I fear that the security guard has a gun and I may end up in jail. And we talk a lot on this show about border politics, the key issue it's become, and we talk about the Border Patrol. And you got to stop and think. There are some 18,000 men and women guarding the borders of this country to keep you and I safe from A lot of bad folks on the border. Yeah, a lot of people come across the border just looking for a better life, but there are a lot of bad folks down there. They have a union, the National Border Patrol Council, established back in 1967, some 58 years ago, an AFL-CIO branch. And the union head for the Border Patrol, Paul Perez, joins us right now to talk border politics and stuff. And Paul, good afternoon. Paul Pacelli here in Connecticut. How are you?
Good. Good to be with you today.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, for thanks for stopping by. How'd you get involved, Paul? Tell us your story with the Border Patrol. How long have you been in your position, and what led you up to this?
Well, I've been an agent for 28 years. I'm originally from North Texas. I went into the military, got out of the military, and I thought that this would be a great job to continue serving my country, and I've never looked back at the decision that I made to, join up back in 97, and I've loved it. It's been a great job. It's had its highs and lows, but this is definitely the best time that I've ever had with the Border Patrol because of the policies put in by President Trump. It's a great time to be a Border Patrol agent.
So contrast that, Paul Perez, what you're seeing now and what your men and women, the rules and the conditions they're working under now versus, say, in past administrations. What's better now? How's morale? Take us through what an agent might have previously had to deal with and what it's like now. What are you hearing?
So I can tell you the 4 years under President Biden were by far the worst. We had many agents that left the agency, many that put in for their retirement and were waiting to become eligible so they could retire a lot earlier than they had initially planned. And the reason was because we were no longer allowed to do the job a Border Patrol agent was supposed to be doing. Instead, we became processors to allow the Biden administration to facilitate the entry of millions of people into this country, something that now we're having to clean up. Along with ICE, but those were the worst 4 years of my career. The best 6 months of my career has been right now under President Trump, and the best 4 years were under President Trump during his first term because that was a really good time to be a Border Patrol agent as well. He left President Biden a secure border, and Biden didn't have to do anything except leave the policies in place. But we all know that on day one he dismantled everything, stopped building the wall, and created chaos.
What's a typical day? And Paul, maybe there isn't a typical day for the men and women, and the guest is Paul Perez, head of the National Border Patrol Council, the union, some 18,000 men and women protecting our southern and northern borders. Paul, it must be just wild thinking about your men and women on the border. They may encounter a mother with children who doesn't really mean any harm but just wants a better life. And then on the same day, you must be on the lookout for these human smugglers, these drug traffickers, people portraying themselves as somebody they're not. How do you deal with that on a day-by-day basis? And is that the intriguing part of the job, trying to understand who is who and what to do with them?
It is, back in 97 when I first came in, the majority of the people that we were apprehending were exactly what people have described as economic migrants. The overwhelming majority of them were from Mexico, and they were, like you said earlier, coming to make a better life, find a job, and, raise their families. But what we encountered soon after was, everybody from cartel operatives. We had terrorists crossing the border. We had a lot of people that were coming here to do harm. And it switched from majority of Mexican illegal aliens to people from other countries, including South and Central America and other countries around the world. And they no longer were economic migrants. These were people that were coming with intent to do harm to American citizens. And that's unfortunately what we've encountered since. So we had to, rethink how we operated out in the field, because again, these were people that were assaulting our officers, assaulting our agents. We had a high number of criminal illegal aliens that had been released from prisons in the United States only to be deported and come back again. So, that's where we got gang members from MS-13, 18th Street, and now recently Tren de Aragua. So it changed a lot in my career. So we run against all kinds of things out there in the field. Our agents are very well trained to handle the situations, but we've always got to have eyes on the back of our heads.
Paul, what does it make you feel, and what are the discussions that you may have with your rank and file? I'm sure you hear, listen, we live in a very bipolar country here. I'm sure half of the country is loving what you say. You may have, and I know you've been on several stations doing these things, and, you know, you've got another half of the country, for whatever reason, they may hear this and say, well, you're just a bunch of, and you've probably heard it, Paul, all these military thugs at the border, people just want to come to this country. I mean, my God, the stuff that you folks have to hear, and I guess you just have to, what do you do, block it all out and just do your job?
We do. You know, we've been labeled as a racist group of thugs, and the funny thing about it is, you know, the majority of Border Patrol agents are of Hispanic descent. You know, over 50% of our agents are of Hispanic descent.
Wow.
There's not a racist bone in our body, and yet we're still accused of racism because we're enforcing the laws that Congress has on the books, laws that they haven't changed, that they've had the ability to change but refuse to change. And so we're enforcing the laws. President Trump's going to make sure that the laws on the books are enforced through our agency and through the ICE officers that are out there removing all the people in the country that Biden let in illegally. But, you know, we've been, you know, assaulted. We've been doxxed. You know, you name it. They've tried to do it to us. But we stand strong, and we're going to continue doing the job that we swore an oath to uphold.
Well, Paul, I know the majority of folks listening to this show on this radio station thank you for what you and your fine men and women do. Paul Perez, the head of the National Border Patrol Council. Folks, if you want to find out a little bit more about the union, they are a branch of the AFL-CIO online, bpunion.org, bpunion.org. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Hopefully we can chat down the road and stay safe and give your regards, our regards to all your men and women. Paul Perez, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it. There you go. Paul Perez, the union head, National Border Patrol Council, the website bpunion.org. Got to talk about this because I'm not sure whether this is real, whether we're getting punked, whether nobody remembers Brooke Shields and her jeans commercials. News Nation senior story editor and gossip maven Paula Froelich joins us to talk about, and Paula, good afternoon. This whole thing with Sydney Sweeney, I can't figure this out. Great to have you with us. Is this even real? Is this, Paula, like a marketing scheme, or are people really upset with this?
Oh, I think that there's a certain faction of our society that is tearing their hair out over this. I mean, you still have the people who are literally finding something to be angry about in everything. And, you know, God bless them. I guess you got to have some excuse to get up in the morning and put your pants on. But
no pun intended. Yeah.
Real. I mean, it's kind of nuts. If you don't like the ad, fine. If you do, fine. But it's literally a play on the word jeans.
Yeah.
People are screaming, this is eugenics.
Oh.
It's like the Nazis. And then on the other side, you also have some people who are saying it's sexualizing domestic violence. And the reason why they're saying that is because portions of the ad are going to the crisis therapy hotline, which is a domestic violence hotline. And they're saying, but they're sexualizing her, Sydney Sweeney, and showing her boobs and her breasts and her butt and all this stuff. And you're like, well, yeah, but isn't that how everything is sold nowadays?
I mean,
I don't understand the problem.
Did they not, Paula, did they, and I know she was a little bit famous for some streaming series, but did none of these people see the Rolling Stones video for the song Angry? I mean, come on, she's laid out on the trunk of a car in downtown L.A., and that was okay, I guess, then, right?
Yeah, but we're living in a society right now that has no actual memory. We're all ADHD. So they also forget the Calvin Klein ad. Nothing comes between me and
yeah,
my Calvin.
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields.
But unlike Brooke Shields, Sydney Sweeney is not 15 years old when she's doing that ad.
Yes.
She's a grown woman who also, frankly, has become famous, not perhaps because of her, and I use this in quotes, stellar acting ability, but more because of how she looks. So I'm not real sure, you know, these people are just, they're ready to get angry at anything that they think is offensive. But then again, the problem is a lot of these people find offense in everything. So yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And finally, Paula, if you listen, see, I can hear it. If you listen really slowly, listen really intently, that noise may be Paula Froelich, I think, is the high-fiving coming from the American Eagle marketing department here, because they must be
100%.
Saying, right?
Listen, people are talking about them. They're just, they're rolling in it. They're like, yeah, someone's getting a raise, you know? This is not like the Pepsi commercial with Gigi Hadid, who's like, here, make the world a better place. Here's a Coke or a Pepsi. That's not it, you know? This is literally a hot girl in some jeans rolling around. My eyes are blue. You know, I don't, it's really ridiculous.
God bless America. Paula Froelich, the gossip maven. You can check her out. Check out News Nation. Hey, Paula, thank you. Appreciate the time, Paula. Thanks.
Thank you, friend. Anytime.
Appreciate it. Paula Froelich there from News Nation, senior story editor and gossip maven. Yes, my God. The current generation, it's suddenly eugenics, and out of Nazi Germany that you have a hot girl rolling around in blue jeans. Oh, the humanity.